The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Everything at both dealerships is backed by Morse. That means 73 years of the Ed Morse family name on their great dealerships across the state of Florida. Join over 1 million satisfied customers. You can see on the websites it's actually over 1.2 million. That's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And, of course, the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa dealership just west of 275 on Fletcher, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, you can go there. They're right there on Causeway Boulevard. The incredible April offers are on the websites, and you'll even see them, as always, on JoeBucksFan.com any day now. The 2019 XTS, 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers, plus $1,500 down payment assistance. When you finance through GM Financial, it's all at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the all-new 2019 XT4 has arrived. $339 per month lease. All the details at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Thanks to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon for supporting all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Now, the draft is coming up 3 weeks away and a couple of days. Opening night of the draft, Thursday night, the big party, the Bucks Uncensored, Bucks Mob, Joe Bucks Fan blowout, which was unreal last year with Derek Brooks in the house and Brent Grimes and other officials right there. Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. It's the big location right on Dale Mabry. Get there early, stay all night. It will be an absolute blast. Bud Light is one of the sponsors. There are plenty of drink specials. It will be a great time inside and outside in the parking lot. What a great setup it will be. And it's all about the football and the fun, so you're not going to miss the draft if you're outside or anything like that. And then we do it all again on Friday. More details are coming. Of course, listen to Bucks Uncensored, and you'll hear all the little details. The hotel is sold out. We got 10 states represented, I think, so far. Other countries, it will be the usual absolute mayhem. And, of course, Ira Kaufman will be there wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon shirt. And you will, and probably his hat as well. And he'll be accepting gifts, as he always does. And he's pulled away quite a big haul the last couple of draft parties. All right, here's the star of the show and our podcast today, the Ira Kaufman Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, it's on. We're here at One Buck Palace. It's April Fool's Day, Ira's favorite day, because he loves to call me a fool. The sage is in the house, Mr. Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. I'm Steve Isbitz. We are presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira, 73 years ago, Ed Morse got it going.
And I was there. Is that what you're about
to tell
me?
And you were there. He sold you the first car that came out of that dealership. And, of course, the Ed Morse family of dealerships grew across the state of Florida to what they are today. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Those are the only Cadillac dealerships in Tampa, in Hillsborough County. So we are proud that they represent all of your work at JoeBucksFan.com. And, yes, Ira, you bought your first car from Ed Morse. And he wasn't even in Brooklyn. You were on vacation with Muriel Berkowitz. You bought a car. It was wonderful.
Is this the first time we've been together since I got back from Vegas?
I believe it is. What was her name, Lee? What was her name? Who is she?
I don't remember her name, but I remember her hands.
Her hands? That's a Seinfeld episode. George Costanza had beautiful hands.
Not that kind
of
hands.
And he became a model.
Well,
not that Lee, this is a family podcast.
I didn't say the untoward.
Why are you noticing her hands?
You have a filthy mind here, Ira. What are you getting at?
A little more detail.
Was this a straight flush on the poker table?
What was so exquisite?
What
was so memorable?
You know the saying about Las Vegas, do you not?
What happens in Vegas? Well,
sort of like I won't say who tipped me off to this foul thing that Deshaun Jackson did against Jameis Winston.
Is that allowable? Can DeKemper mention a woman's hands and then not want to go into any detail? Is that permissible on this podcast?
There aren't many rules on this podcast, Ira. So
I want to do a shout out, late to start with, to our boy, Rock Riley, who I haven't heard the podcast. I'm ashamed.
You'll get around to it.
I'll get around to it. But I hear, word on the grapevine is, he did a heck of a job. Rock, don't get ahead of yourself. I'm back, and you ain't bumping me, but you're a hell of a guest. And by the way, Steve, you got to mention, we're here at $1 for a reason, because we're bringing out, we're going to talk to a couple players today. Conditioning. I don't know if we're going to get the big man, Mr. Arians. Maybe, maybe not. Arians is probably going to give a little speech to the team. And later in this podcast, we'll all take a turn to say what we think that speech is going to be. I'm going to start off with this. Lee, I'm going to direct this right at you. I believe you were at Westgate in Vegas.
I was.
Less than a couple of weeks ago. You picked out a nice lounge chair.
Yeah.
You studied a woman's hands, and then you studied the board.
Well, it wasn't there, but okay.
All right. I'm going to throw this right at the Kemper. I see that Westgate has put out preliminary, and I stress the word preliminary. You know, we're still almost a month away from the draft. Things are going to change. But they have preliminary one loss, under overs for NFL teams. I believe the Dolphins are at 5. I believe the Jags are at 8. That other little team in Florida happens to be the Tampa Bay Bucks. I believe they're at 6, Lee. Six and ten. What's your reaction to that? And while it's true, that doesn't mean Westgate thinks they're going to win 6 games. They think that's the number that's going to generate the most action. Isn't that the way
exactly,
it works?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're looking the most action, whether it be over or under. That's all they're looking at. I had heard it was 7. I could be wrong. But still, that's not a winning record. Not what Bucks fans want. Not what Bruce Arians wants. It doesn't shock me. It's a tough division. The Bucks had the most wretched defense imaginable last year. It got better after Mike Smith was ousted, and I hate to say it, but after Quan Alexander was hurt, the defense improved slightly. But I mean, look at that division, the quarterbacks, and so the defense is going to have to make market improvements, to use a word you like to use, just to slow these guys down. Number one, number two, until proven otherwise, the Bucks have no running game. That's not bad. They just don't have any. I mean, there's a difference. So none of that surprises me at all that Vegas would put 6 or 7 as over and under. That would not surprise me.
Steve, there are some question marks about some teams in this division. The Saints took a couple of hits. Carolina, we don't know what's going on with Cam Newton. That was a significant injury, and they didn't play very well, Steve, in the second half of the season. Saints are the Saints. Very strong team. Are we overranking this division a little bit at the moment?
I don't know, Ira. I'm just happy to be back here at $1 Palace.
The
season isn't starting for the fans, but for us it is. So we have a little different point of view on all this nonsense that goes on here at $1. But the Saints reloaded pretty well. Brought in Jared Cook and some others, and that they're loaded.
Did they lose their center and a running back?
They lost their center and a running back, but they also added Latavius Murray, and Alvin Kamara is going to see more of the ball, I'm sure, which is by design. They're loaded, Ira. They're loaded, and they've drafted well the last few years or so, at least the last 2 years.
Hold on, I'm going to stop you right there. Steve, am I the only guy tired of watching Alvin Kamara catch those swing passes against the Bucks from Drew Brees?
Ugh.
And doesn't that lead me beautifully into how about getting a defensive player that can slow down Kamara a little bit on those passes? Because Michael Thomas is a stud. There's no question about it. But they don't have another outstanding wideout. They don't have an outstanding tight end.
Well, they just got Jared Cook.
They just got Jared Cook.
Chucky's devastated. He couldn't keep him.
He should have probably kept him. But Kamara's the guy, on those darn swing passes. And it's bringing me back to Devin White, if you think that guy can slow down Kamara a little bit. I don't want to raise the Kemper's blood pressure.
I'll just say this. When's the last time an inside linebacker was drafted in the top 5?
I saw you did a little research on that, Lee. Nicely done.
That should tell you why.
I am going on an early podcast tirade right here
right now. Oh, great. Tirade away.
Tirade.
Uh-oh.
Monday morning.
You had a day off? Go ahead.
It's gloomy out. I've had a day off. Now, I'm going to go back to the Westgate of Vegas, and they're not alone. They got the Bucks tabbed at 6-10. I want to say right here, right now, and this is no fake news April Fool's Day. I'm going to say
those
it right
people
here.
Those need you their guys, knuckles guys, dislocated.
Feel free to disagree, although you guys don't need any prompting in that regard. I'm sending this out to Buck Nation right now. And I'm going to say, just because Vegas says 6-10, and if the Bucks happen to go 8-8, I don't want to see anybody throwing parades down Dale Mabry. I don't want to see anybody jumping through hoops that they improved by 3 games over 2018. What I'm saying is, playoffs are bust, people. Playoffs are bust. That's the way Bruce Arians is looking at it. That's the way Bowles is looking at it. And it's the way you should look at it. 11 years is too damn long. 11 freaking years every season. 5 new teams make the playoffs, and the Bucks are never among them. This is crazy. This is absolute nonsense. You think people in Buffalo are hoping for an 8-8 season? No. They're looking for 10 or 11 wins.
They also made the playoffs with this head coach.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I know. Well,
so,
we're not in that boat.
That's my tirade right now, DeKemper. Don't settle for 8-8. Don't consider that a success.
Well, you know what? I've got to be straight with you.
You got to shoot high over there, Steven.
Sitting here right now.
You got a fifth-year quarterback. You shoot high.
I got you with the shoot high, Ira, but I'm sitting here right now, April 1st. I see Arians taking over back-to-back 5-11s. A losing mentality.
Man says they're a better team than the Arizona team he inherited in 2013. Take him at his word, Steven.
A garbage defense. If the Bucks go 8-8, I'm telling you here right now, on April 1st, I will be pleased.
And Lee, that's unacceptable to me.
I lean towards Steve here because that's improvement. That's improvement.
Can't you agree
hope.
With me once a month? Once a month, you got to agree with
well,
me.
Well, we should expect the Bucks in the playoffs? I think that's unrealistic.
I think that's what you should shoot for. That's your expectation.
Well, expectation.
That's your expectation.
A goal, if you can use the word goal, I'll agree with you. Expectation.
I didn't even say win the division. I said make the playoffs.
I can't expect that unless I've had a few beers, no.
So you disagree with Arians that the talent, you're questioning the talent.
Well, we've had a couple other coaches say that this team has talent to make the playoffs, and look what they've done. Cutter said that. Your buddy Dungy said that. What have they done? So
we got a 6-year general manager.
It's
well, what's wrong with the talent?
It's right now. It's the boy who cried wolf. I've heard this too much. Show me if you have the talent. Let's see it. Show me. Win games. Get in the playoffs. Until then, 8-8 from 5 wins. That's improvement.
8-8 is not going to get Harold Goodwin become a legitimate head coaching candidate.
I don't care about Harold
Byron
Goodwin.
Leftwich.
I don't care about
well,
Byron
Arians
Leftwich
does.
Either.
Arians does.
Well, look,
and he knows that that's the only way to get these guys in an elevated position to be a head coach down the line. This freaking team's got to win. 8-8's not winning.
Well, if that's the case, then they need to just unload the roster and stock up on defensive players. Unfortunately, it's too late to do that
you
now.
You just spent 3 hours with Joel Glazer. Do you think Joel Glazer, Joel Glazer's looking at an 8-8 season? Steve, is that the impression you're getting?
Lee brought up something that I want to address because it ties to what you just asked about Mr. Glazer and Sage, I'm sorry. I'm just being real with you. Of course, when the ball kicks off, I'll be rooting for them to get out to 4-2 and get to the playoffs somehow. But sitting here today, 8-8, you know what? First year of a new head coach that takes over a crappy team. I don't care where it is across the league. 8-8 is a good year for a first year head coach taking over a crappy club. That's what Dan Quinn did his first year.
Well, I remember a first year coach not too long ago taking over a crappy club and going 9-7. His name's Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, we were very happy with that, weren't we? They didn't make the playoffs. They got to 8-7. They squeaked out a win against Carolina.
Well,
we're all high-fiving.
Now you're willing to settle for 8-8 over there.
People were giddy.
As of today, that would make me happy. You know what?
Your sights there, DeKemper. Raise your sights.
Well, if you're talking goals or expectations, those are two far different things. Expectations means you'd put your mortgage down that it's going to happen. A goal is a goal.
Instead of Rhea Perlman, you raise your sights to Penelope Cruz.
Rhea Perlman.
That's a classic line for
podcast would ever invoke the name Rhea Perlman?
Right, well,
that's the way this podcast is
I don't know. I
go
guess
today.
If you're under 38, go Google Rhea Perlman and understand that this
no,
is.
No, don't
I
Google.
I believe she was Carla.
Don't
she
Google
was
her. Yeah, right. Don't Google her.
All right, Sage, a couple of things before I get to what
Google Rachel Watson. Yeah. Google Kate Upton. Don't Google Rhea.
Your podcast, available, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Leave a review if you'd like. Haven't looked at them in a while. You can subscribe free. You get an alert. Listen on Joe Bucks Fan. We appreciate that. And Lee and I also give Rock a thank you for checking in. Fun episode. We used a little colorful language in there, Sage.
Ah.
Rock was getting into it, being we called him the Junior Sage. He was, Junior Sage-like.
Did he have a Rhea Perlman reference?
Thankfully, no.
No. And, of course, you can listen to Rock Riley every morning, Monday through Friday, WWBA, that's 8:20 a.m., and following him, 9 to 11, Ira, is the Martine Gramatica Show.
Oh, nice.
So they're on that powerful station there.
Gramatica's got his own show?
Yeah, it's been about 3 weeks now.
Is he talking about Premier League soccer a little bit?
He's talking all kinds of things. Lots of Bucks, of course.
I don't think he's talking about Rhea Perlman.
All right, Sage.
That one got under your craw.
Now, you mentioned six-year general manager. Leah mentioned Jason Light. I did ask Glazer. Something I was planning to write up today. It's in the queue.
This is co-chairman Joel Glazer.
Co-chairman Joel Glazer. I said, look, Joel, I kept it simple. I said, look, Joel, Jason Light, the fans look at the record, and many of them ask, not all, but many of them ask, what the heck is he still doing here? How do you respond to that?
You mean Jason 27-53 Light.
Right. Yeah. So, now, Glazer gave me an answer. Blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, it'll be on Joe Bucks fan. But the one thing Glazer did not say, which, honestly, I was really looking for him to say, because if you believe it, it's the easy answer. I was looking for him to say, he's a good general manager. That's why he's here, Steve. Fans should know this guy does a great job. He didn't say that at all.
But he did point out to the guys that are getting second contracts as a sign.
Well, you don't know. I didn't write it up yet, Ira. You don't know what he didn't really say that. He talked about, you know, continuity is important. We learned that.
Obviously not at the head coach spot, though.
And, you know, it's not good for the organization. And he's good, you know, other things, relationships.
But he never vouched for it.
Just never said the simple answer, which is, hey, this guy's a good. It'd be like if saying, why is Levante David here? Well, he's a heck of a linebacker. He didn't say that, which I think is telling, even though, you know, we're sort of picking apart what he didn't say. But, you know, Jason Light, look, if anybody's on the hot seat, it is this guy, although I almost take him off the hot seat personally. I brought this up in the last podcast because I just don't think he really has power anymore. He's doing his job. He's scouting. He's communicating. He's doing everything. I just don't think he's calling any shots.
And there seems to be a general sense. I haven't been around Light. You were there in Indy. Steve was there in Phoenix. I haven't been around Jason too much. Since the season ended. But look, I don't want to mischaracterize it, but there seems to be a sense, maybe from both of you, that, you know, he's been a little docile, a little not as strong out front as he has been, sort of taking a back seat a little bit. Lee, I don't think that's a big shock with a guy like Arians coming in. This ain't a college coach. This is a two-time coach of the year. And he probably wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't have a certain degree of power. Lee, I don't think it's a shocker.
Well, there's a couple things that work to respond to your sentiments. Three things, actually. Third one, and this will get people mad, but we all know Lovie Smith. Nothing happened in this building unless Lovie Smith gave his stamp of approval.
You should have stopped with the first sentence. Nothing happened in this building. You should have stopped right
well,
there.
Well, a lot of things happened, very few of them good. So I whitewash that. I don't put anything on Light for those two seasons, because that generally the general pattern of the NFL is they give general managers two coaches. Well, this is, we're on Light's second coach.
And so, then Light's power increased under Cutter.
Yes. Now, I don't think there's any doubt Arians is not here if Light's not here. You know, Steve and I get questions on Twitter. You probably as well. You know, why is Light here? My response is Bruce Arians. I really believe that. Now, again, having said that about Light and Lovie Smith, I'm willing to give him a mulligan for those 2 years because he was not in power. As far as him taking a back seat with media, he's never been comfortable in public with the media. Behind the scenes, he's always been very comfortable. Out front where the camera lights are on, the Klieg lights of the cameras, and everybody has their tape recorders out in their phones, he's very uncomfortable with that. You get him behind the scenes, he'll talk your ear off. So that, and given the fact that Arians is, he's gregarious. He loves talking to me. Even in Arizona, the video, it's on Buccaneers.com. He's like, I enjoy this. I like the back and forth.
The, guy,
you know?
The guy's doing shows every 5 minutes.
Yeah,
he's
well,
doing the show.
Part of that reason is,
he's good,
good
at
quote.
It.
Yeah, so people enjoy interviewing him because he's a good quote, and he enjoys it himself. So Light is more than happy to take a step back and let Arians mess with the media.
But Lee, Steve saw Light in a variety of situations in Phoenix for a couple of days without the Klieg lights on Jason Light. And also, Steve, you kind of came away thinking, not backseat necessarily, but he's not out front as much as he has been under Cutter. Fair?
It's a different vibe. Yeah, I think it's fair. And, you know, as you said, Arians has got all the
juice,
all the credentials, the juice, the age. I mean, he could be Jason Light's dad. You know, I mean, it's a different tone.
But Lee's not wrong that Arians probably wouldn't have taken the job if Jason Light wasn't on board.
No,
he's probably right about that.
I mean, look at the free agent signings. Just look at the free agent. I mean, even it came out on Sirius. Arians was on Sirius. They asked him about Breshad Perriman. Well, what does Arian say? Does he say Jason Light and his scouting?
Found this guy? Yeah.
No, he doesn't say that. He says, I called three Browns games this year, and I could see this guy breaking out, and I got firsthand looks and blah, 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 and this and that. And lo and behold, here's Breshad Perriman. Doesn't even mention Jason Light.
Another piece of evidence.
Deion Buchanan. Same thing, Steve.
Well, that's his guy.
Another guy.
Another piece of evidence. The day that Arians was brought in as coach, Light said on the record, I'm doing everything in my power to get Humphreys back. He had the money to do it. He didn't do it.
Yep.
So there's another piece of it. Now, is it fair to suggest that after the last two seasons, maybe Light is walking around with his tail between his legs? Is that a fair statement?
I mean,
thinking that he's lucky to still have a job?
I think he's got to feel that way a little bit. I mean, the NFL looks at him that way as a guy who is tied to Arians, what got him the job. I think probably, and I want your sage wisdom on this, Ira. When I listen to Arians talk about how Vernon Hargraves and Carlton Davis, these are press corners who didn't get to do play man-to-man, I look at Jason Light, and I just wonder, and the past regime in total, I wonder, why did you draft these guys? Why are they even here if they weren't going to fit the scheme? What do you make of that?
It's a hell of an indictment.
Not on someone.
To me, not as much against Light as the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote last week that this season, in a way, is a referendum on Dirk Cutter's coaching staff, because if they make a jump, and by the way, 5-11 to 8-8 is a jump, and if they make that jump, never mind going to 10 wins, which is what I want.
I think all Bucs fans want that. We're just being realistic.
But if they make a significant jump, you know, because this team has not been overturned, certainly not in free agency, and if they make it, then I think it tells you right then and there, there was talent that was misused on this team. I keep saying that the key to success for 2019 is not so much the new players, but the young players that haven't been developed on this roster. I'm going to stick with that. And I got a question for you, Lee. I agree with Steve that Arians had a heavy hand so far in free agency. They may not be finished yet. May not. Lee, you think that hand will be just as heavy in the draft?
I'm sure.
You do? Or you think that's more Light's baby?
I think Light's, you know, he obviously has his scouting department. Arians isn't a scout. But if you're under the assumption, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you're under the assumption that Arians had a heavy hand in free agency, why would he not also in the draft? That would seem inconsistent.
Because these are college kids that he didn't see play.
Well, I mean, I believe he's going to rely on Light scouting reports. But as far as who's picking who, if you believe that Arians had a heavy hand in the free agency, to be consistent, I would expect him to have a heavy hand in the
draft.
Steve,
certainly he'll have a hand in this respect. He's going to tell Light the kind of players that he wants, and Light's going to respond to that.
He's making the number 5 pick. I'm sorry. Come on. You know he's
See,
making
Steve
the pick.
Steve cuts right through it, Lee.
He's making
right
the pick when it's on the board. And in advance, they know who they're picking, and it's not Arian saying, damn, Jason, I don't want that guy. He's making the pick.
By the way,
doesn't mean Jason doesn't like the same guy.
Right.
You know, and I think that ties, for me anyway, back to the Lovie stuff. I mean, and
with Jameis Winston.
In reverse, if Lovie liked a guy, and doesn't mean Jason didn't as well, but and goes the same way this way.
I think Winston's case is that way. Lovie wanted Winston, but Light was not against Winston. He was not.
I can't tell you where I heard this from.
Now, Cutter may not have wanted Winston.
Cutter may not have, but from what I heard, and from what I know, just conversations, Light was deeply in love with Winston way before the draft. Way before the draft.
But so was Lovie. So was Lovie.
I don't know when
he came on board, but
he came on board, yeah. But he, you know, it wasn't like Lovie was saying, Jason, we got to get this Winston kid back in November prior to the draft.
Lovie had clout.
Lovie had clout. Lovie had power. Winston would not be here if it wasn't for Lovie.
That's right.
Only thing Lovie had to say was no, Jason, and that was it. Done. When I say way before the draft, I'm talking like 6-7 months before the draft. Whereas Lovie, that came later. It came within about a month of the draft when Lovie, okay, I'm sold.
Steve, you were sitting there at breakfast with Mr. Arians a week ago. Did you think anything of it when somebody brought up Devin White and Arians basically said, you know, heck of a prospect, don't forget about Devin Bush. Didn't he immediately add Devin Bush's name?
He did,
And did you think that was curious?
No, I didn't think it was curious. I mean, they're both the I'm going to say somewhat similar prospects. Devin White, I think, gets a little more juice. One, because we had Quan Alexander here, too, because he played in the SEC.
Both considered inside linebackers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't make anything of that at all. I'm pretty sure they already know who they want, or at least have it narrowed down to two guys. And, you know, they've got some visits coming up where they talk to these guys a little bit more, try to get a little deeper into their heads to understand if they're going to be a bust or not. If they're
did Rock Riley weigh in on the number five pick, or
he wants an edge rusher?
He wants an edge. So he's in
it's common
camp.
Sense.
He's in Lee's camp. All right.
I just want the guy who's good. I'm sick of the guys who are wrong. You know, you got to pick the right guy. I don't care the position. So that's where I sit. Just pick the right guys. Because if you pick the right guys every year, you're going to be a phenomenal football team. It doesn't really matter the positions. You can. You just got to get those right guys, you know, within reason, obviously. But the Bucks do have a need in both spots, so I'm fine. Just get the right guy.
Somebody came up with a scenario, Lee. I don't know if you think it's crazy or not, where maybe Belichick might be interested in a Gerald McCoy.
I'm sure he is.
And maybe the Bucks could trade in to that last pick in the first round and move up, you know, 5-6 spots, get that 32nd pick, and they have the 5th pick. First of all, is that enough compensation for a Gerald McCoy, in your mind, to move up 5 or 6 spots in the draft? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, because they might be cutting him regardless. So, yeah, if you can move up 5 spots as opposed to cutting him, sure.
Can you see Belichick showing an interest at McCoy if he doesn't want to restructure his contract?
Unlike many Bucks fans, I can see every NFL coach having interest in him. It's not like McCoy's a stiff, despite what a lot of Bucks fans think. He's a good player. Now, Arians has said he's not as good as what he was 4 years ago, but he's still a good player. Why would you not be interested in the guy? He's a veteran. If you're of the mind that he's the reborn Daquan Bowers, then, of course, you know, you can't get anything for him. I don't believe that.
I wouldn't mind seeing Gerald McCoy, Steve, after 9 years of toiling in the trenches here, get a shot with New England. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Well, here's a fun story about that for you, and it answers your question at the same time. 8 years ago, Bill Belichick signed Albert Haynesworth, and it was a bust, didn't work out.
And then the Bucks signed
him. And he paid him a lot of money. And then Mark Dominic said that when he signed Haynesworth right after that, he said, this is quoting Dominic, I watched personally every snap of Haynesworth and scrutinized it, and this guy can play. Meanwhile, then he came in.
He had one great year for Tennessee. He did have a great season.
Yeah, and he came in here and basically destroyed the offensive line, defensive line. I remember talking to Keith Millard about it, the former coach. He's like, he was so bad and so off point that he was screwing everybody else up around him. That's how bad Haynesworth was. And they still kept him on the field. So thanks, Doug.
Totally undisciplined. Totally
just,
undisciplined.
Just brutal.
A waste, yeah.
But McCoy is a lot better than Haynesworth 2011. So to answer anyone's questions, Belichick has done it before. Sign a guy like that. So
now he comes with a heavy price tag, Steve. I don't know. New England's salary structure can absorb that.
Well, that's where something called restructure comes into play.
They got plenty of room. New England's and
why do they have plenty of room? Because Brady gives them the freaking room. I mean, it's a machine out there.
Every New England Patriots fan should thank the world for that horse face he's married to. Because
shouldn't Brady be making $35 million?
Well, he's making Jameis money, so in
Lee,
general.
Shouldn't he be making $35 million?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
What you're suggesting is he should be making as much as his wife, who I think is so overrated.
How could you argue that he should be the highest paid quarterback? You can't argue that.
In theory, yeah, but I mean,
shouldn't he be making more than Aaron Rodgers? Shouldn't he?
He wants to win, but it also helps that his wife is making just boo-coo
money. You go right to the wife. Again, with the hands. You think, like her hands. Giselle's hand.
Do you actually think if Brady was a single guy, he'd say, yeah, I'll be okay with getting paid 10th amount?
It's like me. My wife makes more money than I do. That's why I can be here, right? I just want to win.
If he was a single guy, I guarantee you he'd want more money.
I don't think you're giving Brady enough credit. There's other guys that could be married to a Giselle making all kinds of money.
But they aren't.
And they still wouldn't give their team a discount. They just wouldn't do it.
Ira, let's get real again. Let's cut right to it. Do you have any doubt that there's not an under-the-table deal, handshake deal with Brady and Robert Kraft that will pay Brady a crap load of money
I'm not trying to cry a river for Tom Brady. I'm just saying, you know, he does make sacrifices for the sake of the team.
Steve is bringing up something I've always believed in. How often do you think there's, like, to use your phrase, under the table, there's some kind of, I don't know the financial terms, an annuity or something where owners are stashing cash in a Cayman's account for players? I've always thought that. I've always thought.
Well, if I hear Daquan Bowers is still getting $6 million from the Bucks, I'm dropping the microphone.
No, I think the gun company, the gun that he owned, whatever company it is, he didn't out the gun company, is somehow setting him up at LaGuardia.
I never saw a guy who wanted to talk so much and couldn't make a play on the field as Daquan Bowers. He was
nice
always
guy.
Available.
Just not a good player.
He was always available.
He was a nice guy. Great guy, but that doesn't mean he was a football player. He was, from what I understand, a pretty good guitar player, better than a football player. So that's pretty, you know, he can stick to his guitar strumming.
Lee, I don't want to drum this into you, but you better watch those defensive linemen. Better do your homework. You better get the right one. You better make sure that the moves, the limited moves that they show in college against inferior competition, they better work on their technique in the pros, because that stuff doesn't work.
Moves can be taught.
So, Ira, let's jump ahead. We'll have some little draft fun here.
All right.
Forget about thoughts and whatever. Who do you want them to draft? As a Bucks fan, we've taken you out of your Tribune shackles of pretending you don't care a shred about what happens to the team. You're a Bucks fan. You're a man of the people. You will be at the Bucks Uncensored Draft Party.
I will.
Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, opening night of the draft, right there on Dale Mabry, as well as night two of the draft.
I'm trying to talk to Kemper into it. He won't show. He won't show.
It's going to be another wild blowout. We'll have the confirmations of the biggest names soon, not bigger than you, even, Ira. And that'll be Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm not expecting Mr. and Mrs. Brent Grimes this year, Stephen. I'm not.
No, good shot that they won't be there. But again, that's opening night of the draft.
I just saw a tweet today that Grimes has not announced his retirement, nor is he thinking about retirement. Shouldn't you be thinking about retirement, Mr. Grimes? Nobody wants you right now.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody wants him, but if he's not thinking about retirement, he's irresponsible because he's, what, 36?
He's welcome at our party, Steve. He's welcome.
All right. I think it's clear at this point Grimes just wants to cruise in and pull a Roger Clemens, show up August 15th to some team for the veteran minimum, clear another million and with incentives and get out of there.
Who do I want to draft?
Who do you want the Bucks to draft? Right. You're a Bucks fan now. Take off your journalism hat. Get out the pocket protector. Strip down from your Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon gear. You're a fan. Who do you want them to draft?
I hate to say this because it's going to get DeKemper excited, and DeKemper in an excited state is a dangerous man. You take a pass rusher. You sit in five. You'll get one. Bosa could slip. You never know. Some people have some questions about Bosa.
Do they?
From an injury standpoint, a little bit. You got the Kentucky defensive end. Go get a pass rusher. I can't argue with you, DeKemper. That's going to make your day right there.
Overcome with common sense here. I applaud him.
Steve, the more you think about today's NFL with the rules, you can't do it with coverage. You just can't do it with coverage. You got to have the heat. Sometimes even the heat's not enough.
Yeah.
Because the freaking Breeze gets the ball out in 1.8 seconds. Ryan, is savvy, seeing every kind of the defensive line, every blitz you're going to go. So if you blitz a lot, and I don't think the Bucks are blessed with outstanding blitzers, although Lavonte David might disagree from the Greg Schiano days, but we haven't seen that in 6 years.
Yeah.
Go get a pass rusher. I got to toss this one to DeKemper.
There's two different views. There's what you want and what you think and what your assess is. It's like two and a half different looks.
And Quinnen Williams is a D tackle, but he's a hell of a prospect. He wouldn't be a bad pick.
I'm going to ask you about this Quinnen Williams. I'm just spooked by Alabama defensive guys. They seem to be so well coached up and so maxed
out. There's a point there.
Now, outside of the linebacker that Steve and I were beating a drum for to bring in, the former Ravens linebacker, just off the top of my head, I can't remember of us. I mean, these guys are studs in college, no question about it. And Saban is a fantastic coach.
Fitzpatrick looks pretty good. Minka Fitzpatrick.
Still young. I can't make a judgment.
But he looks good.
Good. But,
you're talking about the Mark Barons now, who played out of position with the Bucks.
That's true. But of all just incredible football players on the defensive side of the ball that Alabama's had,
very few
of them have lived up to their pre-draft billing. So that kind of spooks me. Now, the same conversation here, but when it comes to Ed Oliver, Daniel Jeremiah, a former NFL scout, he was schooled, by Ozzie Newsome. Pretty good German manager.
A lot of people love Ed Oliver. They love Ed Oliver.
Well, Jeremiah said it's frustrating to watch Oliver's film because he was misused. And that really whets my appetite. Wait a minute, this guy did so well and he was misused? That whets my appetite. What can he be
if he's used properly? Going into the 2018 college season, a lot of people had Ed Oliver targeted as the number one overall pick in the 2019 draft. I don't see anybody saying that now. Was he that bad? Was he that bad last year that he slipped from 1 to 8?
Well, it's interesting when they say he was misused. And now, when he played for Tom Herman, when Tom Herman was coach at Houston, and they played against Oklahoma, he was a sophomore, maybe a freshman. I can't remember which. Oklahoma's got one of the best offensive lines last few years of college football. He went wild. And that was against a formidable offensive line.
That's a killer offense, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and a killer line. And he was a young guy. And he went wild. It was a nationally televised game early in the season. They pounded Oklahoma. Obviously, Tom Herman went to Texas. Major Applewhite came into Houston. I think Applewhite got fired. And they hired West Virginia's coach, Holgorsen.
I could see the Bucks dropping back a little bit and taking an Oliver. I could see that.
All right, Sage. Well, I don't think they're going to. That's risky business if you start dropping back like that. I
don't mean drop from 5 to 19.
Along those lines, I expect the Giants, if Ed Oliver, if the Bucks went back, I fully expect the Giants to get a defensive lineman. I really do. That's Gettleman's M.O.
By the way, I don't know. I don't know what Gettleman's doing in New York because
well, Giants fans sure
don't
know.
This thing with Eli Manning is a disaster. What are you doing? You got to get a quarterback. You got to get one.
Who says they won't?
When
get a quarterback?
When are you going to get one?
Who says he won't get one?
Now I'm reading Mara? Stuff. They might stick with him another year or two. Manning. I mean, come on now. Come on.
You don't know, all right? You know, for me,
I'm not knocking taking Saquon Barkley. I'm not knocking that.
Yeah, he's
good. So what are you saying?
I'm saying go. You got to take a quarterback.
Well, let's see what they do. They take one, they take one. Then you can't. And then they got the running back.
Teams that are looking ahead to 2020, oh, it's a better draft. That means you're assuming you're going to go 4-12. I mean, what kind of thinking is that?
Well, the way the Giants are, they could accomplish that a hell of a lot easier than they accomplish a playoff run.
4-12 don't settle well in the Meadowlands there.
Personally, I want Quinnen Williams. Been thinking deeply about this. I like the defensive tackle over the edge.
And then you dump McCoy.
Because I'm going to keep some confidence in the Arians regime. Which is tough for me to do, but I'm going to keep some confidence. And I think when you're as blitz happy as they are, I've been thinking through this through, Ira, dangerous thoughts. Excuse me. When you're that blitz happy, I think you neuter your own edge rushers just a little bit because you're pressuring the quarterback in different ways. And I think the guy up the middle, up the gut, fits getting rid of Gerald McCoy. And if you, assuming you think he is that good, then you're opening up lanes up the middle with blitzing straight up the gut of the quarterback, which is sort of the newer wave of pressure.
You're worried about the Alabama pedigree that the Kemper's concerned with?
No, I mean, because I could worry about anybody's pedigree, really. You know, I could worry about a Kentucky edge rusher's pedigree. You know, I don't know about all the Kentucky edge rushers. And, you know, I think you could go around the board. I can't just say a Clemson guy sucks off the edge because...
He went to Clemson.
Yeah, he went to Clemson. I don't like that.
Right,
If they really like him, I love the potential of a Gerald McCoy and better defensive tackle here.
A lot of drafts have Williams going number 3. I see they got him ticketed at that number 3 spot, but I can't argue with Julie about the D-line. I just can't.
Well, this is why, you know, Steve's argument about getting a tackle. This is why I was screaming for the Bucks to somehow trade for Dee Ford. You take McCoy's money, you give that to Ford, then you go out and get your defensive tackle. Now you're set for years to come. You got Dee Ford, you got Vea, then you got Williams or Ed Oliver, either one, and you're ready to rock and roll. And, of course, the powers that be here thought otherwise.
You can't count on Noah Spence.
No.
You can't.
There's sage wisdom right there for you. I'm going to take that sage wisdom and roll with it. And, of course, you can't go wrong with the edge rusher. I'd be very happy with that. Look what Bradley Chubb did for... Denver last year. You know, they weren't a good team, but he still was phenomenal. And we would take that all day long. And he went, what, number 5? I think last year, 4 out of 4 or 5.
I think that's right.
Now, Ira, we are at One Book Palace, and that means we're going to take a deep breath. You're going to get some more coffee. Lee's going to get more coffee. Then we are going to see who the Bucks roll out for us in the media availability. Day one, we don't know. It's a mystery. Could it be Jameis? Could it be Mike Litke? Could it be Vernon Hargraves?
Could it be Lavonte David?
We have no idea. Maybe Bruce Arians himself will come out and talk about his Super Bowl speech that he just gave the fellas here.
But we'll be back to discuss what happened at the podium.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
The players, Vernon Hargraves, Mike Evans, Shaq, they just finished up at the podium. The thing that jumped out at me, I'm a big body language guy, specifically with Vernon Hargraves, was a sense of relief. When he was talking about supposedly the coaches had told him they're going to put him in a situation very much like he played at Florida, press corner, I guess, he could not suppress a smile. The body language on him was like, finally. Am I wrong in that? I thought the body language spoke volumes.
No, you're absolutely not wrong, Lee. And if, as many people say, with a lot of validity in my opinion, cornerback is all about confidence, self-confidence that you shake off the last play and you go on to the next play. That's what it's all about. If you're dwelling about Michael Thomas catching a 35-yard slant on you, you're not ready for the next play. It's all about confidence. In that regard, Lee, Bruce Arians has done Vernon Hargreaves a solid because without ever seeing him close up on the practice field, he has declared, you are our outside corner. You're going to play to your skill set, which means press coverage. While you and I love this guy like a brother, it didn't speak very well for Michael Smith.
I hate to say that too. I agree with you.
You got to play the guy's strengths, Lee.
I would think that's just coaching 101.
And by the way, Carlton Davis is the same way. Coming out of college, mm-hmm. he was known as a press defensive back, not a guy that plays 8 yards off the line of scrimmage. I think it's going to benefit Carlton Davis as much as it does Hargreaves.
Interesting.
Lee, what a breath of fresh air around here for these corners.
Well, you know what? I thought of this when I was listening to Hargreaves, and you're absolutely right. It's not doesn't say much for Mike Smith, and I hate to say that because he's such a great guy, but I have to separate friendship, if you want to call it that, to you're hired to
but
do
we
a job.
Talked about it on so many podcasts,
yeah.
Lee.
Bill Belichick, out of respect for you, Bill Belichick, you're uncomfortable with me calling him Belichick. But he has a saying, don't tell me what a guy can't do, tell me what he can do. And I think that applies here, at least in Vernon Hargreaves' case. It just seems that way. That kept going through my mind listening to Hargreaves.
And, you know, Lee, without speaking for Jason Light, because Light can speak for himself very eloquently, put yourself in Light's spot. He drafts Hargreaves. He drafts Davis. They don't really get used to their strengths over the years. And what's Light supposed to say to Mike Smith? I mean, it's Cutter's staff.
Mm-hmm.
Cutter hired him. If Cutter didn't like what he was doing, it's up to Cutter to make some changes. Here's Light's the GM. He's the personnel guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he supposed to get in Mike Smith's face? How would that go over with Cutter?
That's
a tough spot for Light.
And that's a great question. I thought of this before today. But just from what I hear and talking to some people that, we cross paths with that work in this very building, and we're at One Buck Palace as we speak right now, I'm starting to think Light gave a whole lot of leeway to the coaches. He kind of stayed out of their way. Now, I know someone in this building told me one time about Light's philosophy. He said, you can't have a Jim Harbaugh, Trent Baalke situation where those guys wouldn't even talk to each other for a while. That's an impossible situation to win under. So I'm starting to wonder if Light just gave Cutter a lot of leeway, and he gave him so much leeway, he almost strangled himself and found himself fired.
And Lee, it also begs a question about communication going into these drafts in 2016 with Hargreaves, 2018 with Davis. You're supposed to work in close conjunction,
mm-hmm.
your scouts, and you're the overseer, with the coaching staff. What do you need? How are you going to use these guys? Blah, blah, blah. Lee, it seems like the communication broke down a little bit.
I don't disagree with you, but remember last April, second night of the draft, because these guys were second-round picks, the second night of the draft, Dirk Cutter, if I remember correctly, he was specifically talking about M.J. Stewart. I think he was also talking about Carlton Davis, but I want to say it was M.J. Stewart. Cutter gets on the podium minutes after they were drafted, and he's lauding M.J. Stewart about being such a good press corner. Well, they didn't use him like that.
And now he's supposed to be a safety.
Yeah, so, I mean, that falls on Cutter right there. If Cutter, the head coach, is bragging about what a good press corner he is, and you didn't use him as a press corner, and Cutter said, well, you don't want me involved in defense because I'll mess everything up. I'm sorry, you got to have some responsibility there as well.
Lee, maybe they didn't have the confidence that they had the pass rush
that
you need to play press coverage. And they were going to get burnt repeatedly deep, and they wanted to keep everything in front of them. But, Lee, you're dying a slow death with those 12-yard, completions.
Oh, yeah.
70% completion percent. You and I would go crazy. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about Evans for a second. Lee, the one thing that comes out about Mike Evans, I think, Lee, since he was drafted in 2014, mm-hmm. well, it's easy to forget. He precedes Jameis Winston,
yes.
Marpet, Donovan Smith. He does. That first draft class. For Jason Light,
mm-hmm.
right? The first pick by Jason Light. Nobody can argue with Jason Light's first pick as a Buck GM. It's a home run.
Yeah.
Now you can say, everybody was going to draft like Mike Evans. Well, he did.
Exactly.
He did. What I love about Evans, his confidence,
yeah.
Lee.
Still has it.
He thinks he's the best receiver in the league. I don't think he's far off. I wouldn't call him the best receiver. But you know.
Number four.
Number four, number five. Hopkins is tremendous.
Oh, yes.
Houston, he's tremendous.
And, of course, OBJ.
And you got Julio, of course. And then Antonio Brown, you know. And Schuster's coming on strong.
Now, of course, in Cincinnati, the A.J. Green.
And they have A.J. Green.
And that's a hell of an argument.
Yeah, too. I think A.J. Green's a very good argument with Mike Evans. But Mike Evans wants a win. He wants a win now. I think he more than most, because he's been around here, you know, embraces Arians like, hey, we're not in a rebuilding stage. Mike Evans loves that.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a little more enthusiasm, a little more juice.
It seemed that way.
And one thing I didn't get to ask him this week, but I was going to, is, hey, this is an offseason of upheaval with your peers. Antonio Brown is gone. OBJ mm-hmm. is gone. And Mike, you're going into year six, and you're with the same team. Are you proud of that? You know, that you might end up your career as a Buccaneer, which he might. So I'm going to save that for the next time we see Evans. But he seems to be in a great frame of mind, mm-hmm. really, you know, and just finished working out with O.J. Howard and James.
Yeah, over at Texas A&M, and that was this past weekend. And I noticed I took a screenshot of it. I have it on my phone. I haven't published it yet. But he was talking about Jameis, saying how no one will outwork him.
Yes.
You know, he was asked, well, has Jameis' demeanor changed because he's a father now? And no, he still works hard. You know, he didn't take a bait. But the screenshot I took, and I thought this was interesting because there's some scuttlebutt, and this is understandable. When the suspension came down for about Jameis, a lot of his teammates were not happy. They thought they were let down. And I had heard through the grapevine that Mike was hurt about that. You know, personally hurt that he thought he was
and probably not happy that he didn't come clean right in the beginning. Also,
that probably had something to do with it. But I just heard he was really bummed out about it, and that's understandable. Your quarterback let you down. Your quarterback suspended to start the season. That's not good. But a screenshot I took. There's a feature. I know you're not an Instagram guy. There's a feature on Instagram where users can put photos or videos out. It's called Stories. They only last for 24 hours. After 24 hours, they vanish. Goodbye. They're gone. They automatically delete. Well, he had a screenshot of Jameis throwing a pass at Texas A&M during their workout this weekend. Mike Evans had this on his Instagram stories.
He didn't take it himself, right?
I don't know who took it, but it was on his account, and it said, my MF quarterback. And MF stands for just what you think it stands
for. Yes, yes.
My MF quarterback. I'll publish that at some point, but I thought that was telling.
You might be right, Lee. For a brief time, Evans was disappointed in Jameis.
Disappointed is the best word.
Disappointed, but he's always had Winston's back. Evans always had his back. You know, the one thing, Lee, and we got to be fair to Jameis, he's had his ups and downs on the field, off the field. The one thing that has never been questioned since he signed a contract with the Bucs in 2015. His work ethic.
Yeah.
It's never been questioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been doubted. You got Lovey. You got Cutter. Arians. Mm-hmm. We heard it from Evans today.
Mm-hmm.
Damar Dotson, who's as straight a shooter, Lee, as we have, has never questioned Winston as a worker.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, you got to think in the grand scheme of things, maybe I'm being a cockeyed optimist, but in the grand scheme of things, you got to think that's going to matter.
You would hope so.
Jameis' development. You got
to
think that.
Yeah, it's a positive, certainly. Josh Freeman, he was sold to us. That's the verb I use, sold. He was sold to us as a hard worker. We know now that was a, as my dad would say, a cock and bull story.
Yeah.
That was just a line. But yeah, there's no question about that. Get back to Vernon Hargreaves real quick. You know, I asked him, Steve wanted me to ask him a Gerald McCoy question. You know, we still don't know if McCoy's going to be back or not. Jason Light, publicly at least, has yet to commit to McCoy returning for 2019, but here's the first day of workouts. And I asked Hargreaves about that. You heard it. What'd you take out of that?
He doesn't know. I think that's the point. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. You know, when you ask these guys, I asked a question about Kwan. I asked Evans about Humphreys. You got to remember, Lee, and the one thing that comes across is they separate the business side.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And I think that's probably smart. Evans didn't want to lose Humphreys, but he's happy for Humphreys. Vernon knows what Kwan meant in the locker room, but he's happy for Kwan. He's getting paid. That's the one thing that you and I have to understand. This is a business. The Gerald McCoy, it's now a business decision. And if they let him go, they're going to miss him. but life goes on. I don't think Hargraves has any idea about Gerald McCoy's future, but I think it's looking a little darker than it did a month or two ago. They need cap relief. They need cap relief.
And if he's going to come back, you would like the Bucks to come out and say he's back. Multiple opportunities to do so. They have not done that. You bring up Evans talking about Humphreys. Notice he smiled all the time talking about Humphreys, and he said that's a life-changing contract.
Yes.
His exact words, life-changing. And he seemed really happy for Humphreys. He really did. He was sorry to see him go, as you stated, but you could tell he was really happy for Humphreys.
And, we'll see who will emerge in the slot. I don't know if they're going to use Godwin extensively in the slot. Doesn't seem to me Perryman is a slot receiver. Perryman,
with his speed, I wouldn't think so. You'd think he'd take the top off.
Stretch
the field.
Yeah, you would think so. Slot receivers have to be tough, Lee. They got to make catches in
traffic.
Humphreys
was.
And Godwin does that.
Yeah.
Godwin does make catches in traffic.
That is a hidden trait of his. He really does well in traffic. That's a very good observation there, Ira. What would Chris Russo say?
Well done, Ira.
Well done, Ira.
All right, Lee, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to come back a little later with another podcast for this week. We're going to try to get him booked on time, Lee. I know Dr. Wenk is listening and Javier and,
Joe on the East Coast.
And the Bucks are going to bring out some more players next week.
Next week. Before we say goodbye, one last question. You heard Vernon Hargraves talk about, it sure seems like that he's been told you're our other outside corner. You're going to replace Grimes. We know about Carlton Davis. Is that a tip-off to what the Bucks might do in the draft? Because on paper, they still need a cornerback. Is that a tip-off to what the Bucks are going to do?
Here we go with MJ Stewart again. He was supposed to be a slot corner.
Now he's a safety.
And now he's a safety. You would think they're going to have to address it. You know, Deion Buchanan is not a slot corner. It's a big piece because they're on the field 70% of the time.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do it. Not everybody likes it. I don't think Hargraves liked it particularly, although he thought he was very good at it. But he's back to where he's going to be most comfortable. Hargraves is a very interesting case, Lee, because here he is going into year four. And if I ask you right now on this podcast, is Vernon Hargraves a player or not? You're going to say, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. You hope so. You think he might be, but you can't. No, you cannot give a definitive answer.
Some of it's injury.
Sure.
And some of it's shaky play. And he didn't look bad as a rookie.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know if he's played enough that you can see he's shaky. Now, again, as you just said, I thought he played okay as a rookie. Since then, he's been injury prone. He certainly did not have a good sophomore season. Played one game his third season and played quite well, I thought. Then he got injured.
Last thing, if you and I put up a list of five Buccaneers that are under the gun, how are you going to perform in 2019 with a different staff in a different scheme, and you're picking your top five players? You're not going to pick Mike Evans because he's a Pro Bowler, period.
Yeah. You know about him.
Hargraves is going to be on that five.
Easily. Yes.
And maybe very close to the top.
I was going
to
say, if not number one, number two.
You're not going to pick Gerald McCoy,
or
Mike Evans.
Him. Known commodity.
Vernon Hargraves is right there,
the
top.
I would say the first two, Jameis and Hargraves.
That's not badly.
You pick which one's
pick
better,
which
too.
One.
But I think those are the top two. And I love Jameis, but the Glazers were not committal about him next year. And I'm sure, Arians is behind him, but I'm sure Arians wants to see him solidify himself as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Not a guy that one game looks good, the other game not so good.
Maybe Ronald Jones is on that list. Maybe.
I
don't know. I don't think yet.
Not yet.
So Justin Evans could be on that list. He's got a show.
Yeah.
He's got a show.
Yeah,
I thought he went back a little bit.
Jameis be on the final year of his contract? With Hargraves being on the final year of his... No, it's not final year. But it's his fourth year. Do they give him the fifth year option?
That's
Those
right.
are the two on the edge of the cliff, I think.
Well said. Catch you later, Buck Faithful.